If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and a reality check you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on Reality Check Radio, listening to the Up Your Brave show, and I am your host, Natalie Cutler-Welsh. Next up, I'm talking to Kirsty Richards all about living holistically with homeopathy. Kirsty is a mother of two, a holistic practitioner, and a homeopath. Welcome to the show, Kirsty.
Thanks, Natalie. It's nice to be here.
I am excited to chat with you today, all the way from Waiheke Island. For those of you that don't know Kirsty, Kirsty Richards is the founder of Whole Being Health. She's passionate about health, wellness, and homeopathy. In addition to helping people and animals, I love that, become well, her other passion is empowering families and individuals to learn how to use homeopathy at home to treat themselves, their families, and their pets. Homeopathy has been used worldwide since the 1800s and is now one of the most widely used alternative therapies in the world. So true. And I think so many people don't know that pharmaceuticals are just like the new kids on the block. They've only been around for 100 years or so. So I'm so happy that you're spreading the good word about homeopathy. I'd love to know a little bit more about your journey. How did you come to this place where you're helping families and pets with holistic health and well-being through homeopathy?
Well, it all started when I was pregnant with my son, who's now 21, and I've always been, naturally minded, and I wanted to have natural remedies to help me through, just the usual kind of pregnancy things. And I was working for an organic company at the time, and they stopped some homeopathic products, and I didn't have a clue about homeopathy. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was some kind of weird thing. But I tried these remedies anyway, and they worked. So I thought, oh, okay, this is interesting. And then that just sort of sparked the interest for me. So when my son was about two, I started my homeopathy training. And so that was, I graduated about 14 years ago now. So that sparked that all off. And it's often a journey for a lot of women, I think, when they're pregnant, as they start getting into homeopathy because they're looking for natural ways to get well that aren't going to harm them or their baby. And here we are.
Yeah, you're so right. And it's an interesting time, that pivotal stage when we start to think a little bit deeper about what we're putting in and on our body. That's the pregnancy thing. And people start becoming a little bit more aware. Have you seen a rise in homeopathy over the years, or is it on the, what does the graph look like?
Well, a lot of my clients are international, like US-based. I think New Zealand is a little bit slower on the uptake to use, some alternative forms of healing. But it definitely is increasing, and especially in recent times, I think people are really gravitating more towards other forms of healing. They're sort of veering away from the old or conventional way. So it's definitely increasing, and with animals too, which is really lovely to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to ask you a little bit later for some specifics around pets, if we can. So the topic today is living holistically with homeopathy. I'm going to break that into two just to set the scene. What do you mean by living holistically?
For me, holistically is your whole being. It's your physical, your mental, your spiritual, your emotional. It's the four pillars. And that homeopathy is a holistic form of healing, because you can't have one aspect without the other. That's my belief. You can't have good health if you're not well balanced emotionally, or spiritually. All those four cups need to be equally full to have that whole being health, really, which is why I chose the name as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you're right. Someone might be super duper fit, but their mindset or their mental health is not great. And then vice versa sometimes. What about homeopathy? I have mentioned it before on my show. I think it was back in 2023. What is that for the people that are listening that think, oh, I've kind of heard of that. I don't really know what it is. Is it herbs? How does it work? Can you give us the basics? Like the fundamentals of what we need to know? What is homeopathy and how does it work?
Well, that's a big question. It's an energetic form of healing. So it was developed in the late 18th century by Samuel Hahnemann, who was a German physician at the time. And the central principle of homeopathy is that it's based on the concept of like cures like. Mm-hmm. So it basically meaning that a substance that causes symptoms in a healthy person can be used to treat similar symptoms in a sick person. So an example that I often use for people can be, you know, say if somebody drinks lots of coffee, they might be, you know, sort of wired, they might have insomnia, you know, they might feel jittery. But there's a homeopathic remedy made from coffee called Coffea, which actually treats those symptoms. So it's very, very energetic. It's safe for everybody, you know, pregnant mums, babies, animals, the elderly. It doesn't have any adverse effects. It's affordable. And it really works on all of those energetic layers, I guess. It helps bring the person back into balance.
To me, it just sounds so obvious. And I'm like you. And even before babies, you know, I was always loving the natural stuff and the just being really aware of what was going in and on my body and all those things. I've always been like that. Even the paint that we used when we bought our first house and, you know, the flooring and all everything. But what I'm wondering is, you know, because there are those people, and I've got a few in my life, that kind of poo-poo the natural stuff. And I just think, goodness, like it's been around for so long. What are some of the things that you can say, not necessarily to convince, because sometimes we can't, but to open the eyes of someone who is maybe new to or skeptical of the concept of homeopathy and like, did you say like cures or like treats?
Like cures, like.
Interesting, like cures, like. Yeah, mm-hmm. What would you say to someone that's kind of folding their arms and going, yeah, right?
Well, I mean, I don't try to convince people because I think people have to, you know, come to something willingly or have an open mind. But often one of the arguments that people use against homeopathy is that they say it's placebo. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, that's okay. But then how do you explain animals and babies? They don't know about placebo, yet they're getting well. You know, homeopathy is used on dairy farms in New Zealand and worldwide. You know, it's used in the horse racing industry as well.
Tell me how. I'd love to learn more about that. How do they use it in the dairy industry and the horse racing industry?
I don't have huge amounts of info with that because that's sort of more of a specialized area. But say for dairy farms, if a cow gets mastitis, they just put a remedy like maybe phytolacca or bryonia into the water trough, and then the cows drink the water, and that treats the mastitis, and they're not having to have antibiotics and everything else, which then obviously ends up in milk and food and everything else. So, yeah, and they have the animals heal faster
from with natural. The things from nature. So, can you tell us a few? I love this. A few examples of one homeopathy. I don't know what you call it, item that can be used for something. So this can be used for that. Do you have any examples like that? Like that was a perfect one with the mastitis example.
Oh, there's so many. But say, the thing with homeopathic remedies too is that they have so many wide-ranging, you know, ways of working. But say, for a cold, a common cold, one remedy. I mean, there's lots of different remedies because homeopathy, it's very individualized. And that's one of the other things I love about it is we really are looking at that individual person and their symptoms. We're not taking that blanket approach that we're used to, you know, with conventional medicine or even with supplements, you know. So somebody with a cold might need a remedy called aconite, which, you know, if they've got a cold that's come on from exposure from being outside and in a cold wind or something like that, that might be an indication for the remedy aconite. But someone else might have a cold with different symptoms and they might need a remedy called Allium sepa, which is actually made from onions. And, you know, if you think of what it feels like when you're chopping onions and you've got streaming eyes and that sort of burning watery discharge from your nose, then that would be an indication, for example, for that remedy. But we really are trying to sort of differentiate those symptoms because we're all individual, and that's the beautiful thing about it. You know, we're not just saying, here, take this. we're really looking at each person, which makes it so special and really does create that healing process.
Yeah. And one of the things we want to do, and I know you're so passionate about it, is empowering families to have these things at hand, but then obviously know how to use them, like which thing for what scenario. So is it sometimes a matter of like, do we, you know, going to a homeopath and obviously learning a whole bunch, and then when someone is feeling under the weather, you can take something? Or is it something that you also use to stay in good health? Can you be proactive with it as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, firstly, I do recommend that families, you know, get a basic homeopathic kit. And, you know, it's, most of them come with a little instruction booklet, because, you know, it's often in the middle of the night when especially like little children might get a gastro thing, or they might be teething. And often families, you know, or parents will freak out and they'll reach for Pamol, or, you know, end up going to the A&E or something like that. Whereas if you know you've got some homeopathic remedies at home, you know the basics, you're not going to do any harm either way. So you can treat them with the right homeopathic remedy, and it's not harming the child or the person. They're not having to take anything that's, you know, going to be putting a load on their liver, for example. Mm. And that just makes, you know, that's a great way of empowering families. But also for, you know, that long-term health, that's when, you know, if someone has had a history of ill health or recurring colds or something like that, we'd do what we call a constitutional remedy, where we're looking at the whole person and finding the remedy that kind of matches their best overall symptoms. Mm-hmm. And that builds that immunity, strengthens their immunity and their whole body that way. Whereas when you're doing sort of acute situations, you're just treating those symptoms at that time. So it's slightly different.
Exactly. I can see how it can be used both ways. All right, let's talk about something I know you're really big on that you wanted to talk about today, is rising above fear and division. So part of living holistically, I imagine, is rising above fear and division. What are your thoughts on that from your own experience or what you've seen others go through?
Well, I mean, for me, it's really, you know, obviously in the last few years, everybody's world has sort of been turned upside down with the things that have gone on globally and here in New Zealand too. And, you know, I really think that our inner world is, or our outer world is a reflection of our inner world, you know. And, you know, it's been difficult for lots of people, the things that have been going on in recent times. Now, there's been back injuries and there's been lots of things that have gone on. And obviously there's been situations that have been outside of people's control, and that's true, you know. But I think it's so important for people to sort of maintain that, I don't know, self-belief or look for the goodness and try to keep themselves in a good mental state, because it's so easy to get bogged down with the weeds, or, you know, get bogged down into all the division of different groups or whatever. And that doesn't help anybody, you know. So I think it's really important to do things that make us feel good, and yes, have awareness of whatever's going on in the world, or have tools or whatever that you need, but also perhaps distance yourself a little bit too, and do things that make you happy. It might be something simple like going for a walk on the beach, or getting a coffee, or sitting with a cup of tea in the morning, and just really trying to fill your cup up from other areas, and not getting so bogged down into all the negativity that we're being bombarded with. And for me, I think a lot of the division, you know, that we're still seeing in all sorts of different ways now, but it's, for me, I almost feel it's like a division from ourselves and our own innate wisdom or our own spirituality. And I think, you know, keeping that guidance or tapping into that inner wisdom is so important, and it keeps us grounded and strong. And to me, I feel that's the biggest real threat to humanity, is, you know, people being divorced from that, whatever that guidance is for them, you know. And it's so important to hang on to that, because if we focus on the negative, that's going to manifest itself, you know, physically.
One thing on that, I think you're so right. Just off the back of talking about the homeopathy, where, you know, maybe 5 years ago, a lot of people always would have been like, oh, I've got a fever, straight to A&E or straight to the PAMOL or straight to the chemist. And now they are, I think, coming from maybe a more skeptical, but hopefully more empowered place of going, actually, I have some tools right here with me that I now know how to use. I'm big on essential oils. So different remedies, whatever. I've got, you should see my pantry. It's hilarious. One side of it looks like a pharmacy. That's my husband's side. And my side of it has like black seed oil, castor oil, like vitamin K plus D, you know, like all the things. It's really quite funny. But I feel like people are becoming more empowered. And on that note, speaking of fear, you're right, because if people are living in a state of fear, which we have been bombarded with, particularly lately, but if you look at things really our whole lives, if on the news and everything, fear, I imagine, makes the cortisol levels go up and all that, and stress goes up and immunity goes down. And then the division, I think, creates a lot of anger for people. So angst and anger especially, and I'm very big on people expressing instead of suppressing their emotions. Mm. But when people obviously suppress their anger, oh, I shouldn't be angry, or I'm not going to let that bother me, but really it does. And you probably see the result of that coming, walking through the doors of your clinic.
Oh, absolutely. And I think people often underestimate how big an impact stress has on our physical bodies. It's huge. It really, really is. And, you know, it can manifest in so many ways, you know, insomnia or grumpiness or cancer or, you know, all sorts of things. So it's so important to, yes, express those emotions and not deny them, but find healthy ways to release them. And it's, you know, sometimes trauma does get stuck in the body, and homeopathy really does help to release that trauma. I mean, I'm working with some children in America who are still suffering because of lockdowns and things like that, and or even adults have had agoraphobia, but with the right homeopathic remedies, it's helping rebalance their system, so they're feeling empowered again to get outside, and that trauma is being released. But it has a huge impact.
That is so good to hear. And I imagine for some of my listeners, a little bit of a relief, because when they think about healing their trauma, a lot of people would maybe, they totally like lean into that statement because they know about that. They know we all have trauma. Other people will think, oh, well, I don't have trauma. I had a great job, right? So there'll be a bit of that. But I think it will be a relief to some people to know that it doesn't just have to be counseling, talk therapy, going on a retreat, whatever. There's so many different ways to express or release that trauma, and knowing that something like homeopathy, which is putting something under your tongue, is that right?
It is. Okay. Yeah, it is. But often people find the homeopathic consultation itself is quite healing, because the initial consultation takes up to 90 minutes, and it's almost like, you know, for some people, like a counseling session, because it's the first time for many people that they've actually really been listened to. You know, it's not like going to your doctor and you're in there for 10 minutes and you're given a prescription and out you go. You know, when I'm doing a homeopathic consultation with somebody, I'm really wanting to find out what's making them tick. And if they do, I'm always looking for a causation, because if we can heal the causation, you know, you're healing everything else. But whenever there's something happening in the body, we're always looking at that emotional component too, because it's always tied in. But so many people often say, just after having that, someone just listening to them for that 90 minutes, and they actually feel heard. Mm-hmm. And often people will say things to me that they've never said to anybody. So it's a huge impact.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was chatting with my sister recently. Now, she's a doctor and she's based in Tauranga, and they recently had a big conference. I think it was down in Tauranga. Tons of doctors. And I was like, did they mention anything about emotions? Did they mention anything about holistic health and well-being? And she said, well, they acknowledge that the doctor's appointments, you know, 10 minutes, it's just really not enough to really learn enough about the person. And I was like, yeah, no, like, no kidding. And she said, so we're looking at really working together more and having more health coaches as part of that kind of onboarding process. And I was like, yes, because all of my clients, so many of whom are health coaches and holistic practitioners, I mean, it's 45 minutes, 90 minutes, an hour at, you know, is normal. Like, there's no way you would do a 10, 15, 20 minute consult. That's crazy, because we're looking holistically at the whole body. Mm-hmm. We're not just lasering in on the one thing and writing them a script. And she's like, we don't just write scripts. And I'm like, okay. So I'm so pleased to hear you say that obviously your appointments are 90 minutes, but it's that therapeutic process of the person connecting with thinking about their own body, not just their to-do list and everyone else's, you know, things in their life. It's like thinking about themselves, being present, feeling comfortable enough to share it with someone like you, a trusted person. And then, yeah, just the therapeutic impact of that alone, then you bring in the homeopathy, which can help to release and obviously help them to, I'm going to use the H word, heal. So yes. Some doctors don't like when we use the H word.
No, we're not allowed to say that, are we? But it does. It does.
It triggers them.
That's so
amazing.
And that's I think that's the difference too with homeopathy or different kinds of healing. You know, we're not setting up patients for life. Mm. You know, we're actually looking to heal people and for people to get well so they don't need us anymore. You know, we're kind of doing ourselves out of business here. But that's the whole aim. We're not wanting people to be dependent.
Yeah,
on things or on us. And again, that comes back to that empowering people to how to treat themselves at home too. So, you know, what a great gift when children are raised homeopathically, like my children mm-hmm. have been and my pets. We don't go to the doctor. We don't need to. You know, we've got everything that we need here. And that makes me feel so empowered as a parent, you know, to know that if something comes up, you know, of course there are times when we may need to, you know, if someone's got a broken bone or something, but to have that empowerment to know that I can do this, you know, I can look after this, and especially with the state of the health system that we have now, and people need to feel empowered and strong within themselves and to get that autonomy back, because it's been, you know, taken away or attempted to be taken away.
I do want to acknowledge that I know that doctors don't want to set up lifelong customers. I do think the pharmaceutical industry does, however. So doctors are in this very precarious position of feeling like they're at the bottom of the cliff. So I've heard some of them, and of obviously be overrun with patients. You know, they don't necessarily want them to come back, but the problem is because of what they're given, which is prescriptions, they're coming back and they're coming back again and they're coming back with new things. And so we, you, me, and a whole bunch of other people are trying to transform the health care system into an actual healthcare system instead of a sick care system. And that's not being rude. It's legit what it actually is. People come in because they're sick and they just try to like get them well enough to go away so they can see the next person 10 minutes later. And that it's tragic. Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, often the thing too is that, you know, so many pharmaceutical drugs have so many side effects. You know, they might help with one thing, but then it can create something else. So then another medication is needed for that. And it's a whole vicious cycle. And I'm not bad mouthing doctors. I know that they do a great job and they've got a limited, you know, scope there. But, you know, yeah, it's just this whole vicious cycle. And it's really hard for some people to get off that treadmill.
Absolutely. We are on the same page. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. If you have some comments or questions, you can send us a text 2057 on the text or inbox at realitycheck.radio. What have you learned today from our session talking about living holistically with homeopathy? And if you've just joined us, I'm talking to Kirsty Richards. We're talking about homeopathy as well as rising above fear and division. I would love to segue now a little bit and talk more about pets. Because I know if anyone's out there like me, I'm a bit of a, I've got a menagerie at home. Let's just put it that way. I've got a queen and two kittens at the moment. I'm fostering. We are a foster family for pets. I think this is our fourth time fostering. And then I've got my regular cat and regular dog. And only sadly one guinea pig at the moment. They're supposed to be in pairs. So we'll decide what to do next. Anyway, can you give my listeners anything specific, some practical tips or insights for living holistically with their pets?
Oh, gosh. Well, firstly, I mean, I find that animals respond so beautifully to homeopathy. It's quite miraculous. And one of the, well, more common things that I often get asked about is anxiety for animals, especially for dogs, like separation anxiety. So there's, you know, there's lots and lots of different remedies that can help with that. I mean, obviously there's often physical things that come up with pets too, but some anxiety remedies for dogs can be things like phosphorus or gelsenium, aconite, you know, sort of throwing things out there. Even sometimes rescue remedy can be helpful for them as well. But yeah, they just respond so beautifully to homeopathy, and I've seen it turned around so many animals. And I'm a foster mum for dogs too. So it's quite beautiful to see how they respond. And another big thing that I often treat is yeast infections for dogs, which seems to be a huge issue. And that, you know, homeopathy for that makes such a difference, because often dogs will be on steroids for long periods of time, which just is masking symptoms. It's not actually fixing it. And then, of course, that creates a whole raft of problems
as
well.
Just like in humans, right?
Absolutely. It's exactly the same.
So how does the yeast infection present, just in case someone's listening and they didn't realize that's what it is? Is it the rusty colored paws and mouth? Is that what that might be?
It can be that. Often they can have, like, they might be scratching their ears a lot or pawing at their face. Mm-hmm. They can have like a gunky kind of discharge from their ears. They can have like almost a kind of a cheesy smell from their ears as well, or their paws, or they might be biting and licking and scratching a lot. And obviously a lot of it comes down to diet too. So raw food is preferable, but I know it's really expensive. But that's, you know, a good thing to do if you can for your pets. Often the dry food can be a bit of a trigger for yeast infections. But yeah, it's amazing. There's so many things that can be done to help our animals. And it's lovely to see.
I've got one for you. I'm going to put you on the spot. So apologies in advance. So my true story, my dog, which is a spoodle, which is a combination of a Cocker Spaniel and a poodle. She is about 8 and she started getting really fat. And we're an active family. And like, I'm walking her and she's miles behind me and panting. And I'm like, come on, girl, you got this. And I'm cheering her on, but she's legit exhausted and she doesn't fit her little coat anymore. Anyway, I went to recently we went in and they said, they did a blood test and she might have hypothyroidism. And here's the prescription, but she'll be on these pills for life. Do you have anything, an alternative to that?
Absolutely. There are homeopathic remedies. And that's another thing that I often treat with pets too, is hypothyroidism. Again, it's one of those things we'd be looking at her sort of overall symptom picture and matching the right remedy to her. But I have got, you know, animals that I'm treating who were previously taking thyroid medication and they're now not taking thyroid medication. They're taking the homeopathic equivalent instead. So, and sometimes they might need to be taking the remedies for 4 or 5 weeks or having a top up every now and then, but they're not having to take something all the time. And of course, homeopathy is gentle on the system. It's not going to be creating any overload in the liver and things like that. And I guess maybe that's an important point for people too, is that homeopathy is not like supplements. You don't have to keep taking remedies for months and months at a time. Sometimes you might only need to take a remedy for 3 days or 10 days or, you know, it just depends, because it does carry that energetic signature. So that's just that differentiation as well.
So similar to what you said earlier, it really brings the body back into balance.
It does. And it lasts as well. I mean, you know, for the example, say for your dog, like she might need to take a remedy like once a week ongoing or something like that, or just as a top up. But it maintains that balance within the body. Because the body's wise, it knows how to heal itself.
Yes.
And we've just forgotten that. So that the homeopathy is just, again, empowering the body to self-heal.
So I would love to know, I know you're in Waiheke. So do you do consults online for pets as well as people? Like they don't have to come to Waiheke to see you with their dog.
No, I do. Yeah. Pets and people online or in person if they're on Waiheke. So both. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be in touch after this interview. So good. I'd love to talk a little bit before we wrap up about winter wellness. Okay. So we're kind of going into winter, and I'm putting that in quotation marks because I come from Canada and it's winter. I used to walk to university and my eyelashes would be frozen shut. from.
Oh, wow.
No. So, you know, winter in New Zealand. Anyway, I'm just being funny. So what are some things that people can do to empower themselves, to raise their immunity, to support themselves from whatever, sniffles and such, during the winter months?
Well, I really recommend that everybody gets a homeopathic kit for home, because most homeopathic kits will have some remedies in there that will cover colds and flus and things like that. I mean, there's so many options, but one of the things that I often say to people is you can get what is called tissue salts or cell salts, which you can, you know, I think they're about $12 a little bottle, and you can get them online or from various chemists or health food stores, and you can get a combination one, which basically, I guess briefly, cell salts are your body's main building blocks. There's 12 essential minerals. And if everything starts at the cellular level, so if there's an imbalance in the cells, then obviously you're going to be more liable to get sick and things like that. And cell salts, again, they're safe for the babies, toddlers, you know, right through to the elderly. So just as a very basic thing, you know, to take that combination 12 cell salt once or twice a day coming into winter is a really good thing to do. And can I name a specific product? It's not mine.
Yes, that's what I'm asking for. Go for it.
Yeah, okay. Valeda do a really good Echinacea thuyacomp, which is great as well to boost. It's not strictly homeopathic, but that's really good to help, you know, boost overall immunity as well, and obviously vitamin C, things like that. And getting outside and exercising when we can, you know, sunshine, you know, good clean water, trying to have a balanced diet, limit negativity as much as possible, you know, social media and all the stuff that we get fed, trying to avoid it, you know, as much as possible, and filling up our own cup, which is something that I say to my clients too, is find those, I call them glimmers, you know, find those little things that spark joy within ourselves, because that is, you know, it all has to come from within. So doing those things that make us feel happy, that's so important.
Find the glimmers. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. I would love to ask you a few questions about, well, first off, the up your brave question. If you were to truly up your brave, and everyone else listening, you can, what would you answer if I asked you this? If you were to truly up your brave in 2024, what would you do?
Well, I'm one of these people who, especially I think as I've got older, I really embrace doing things that scare me. So I try to push myself out of my comfort zone quite a lot. But I guess one thing that I am terrified of doing, which I might push myself to do, would be to jump out of a plane.
It's a classic. I've done that, but nowadays I wouldn't do it now, because I feel like done that, don't need to do it again. That'll be exciting. So is that something you're feeling like you might do it before 2024 becomes 25?
It's a possibility.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
If anyone's listening and has any tips, you know, where to do it, where's the best place in New Zealand, let us know. What is coming up for you in the next few months, and how can people connect with you? How can they reach out to you if they want to chat about their pet or their own personal health? How can they connect with you, and what's coming up?
Well, what's coming up, I've just got lots of, you know, I've got a lot of clients in the States, so I'm dealing with lots of families at the moment. I am working on doing a first aid course at home, which hasn't been released yet, but that's something that I'm going to be, you know, working on in the next few months. People can get hold of me at wholebeinghealth.co.nz. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram under Wholebeing Health, and I'm quite active on there. And yeah, they can subscribe to my newsletter as well via my website if they like to.
Sounds amazing. So if they want to book something, they just go to one of those places and it's easy to find, yeah?
Absolutely. Easiest to book via my website, which is thewholebeinghealth.co.nz. I've got all the links on there, and they can see the different types of appointments and things on there and go from there. I also offer a 15-minute discovery chat if people just want to, you know, meet with me and talk about what their needs are, and mm-hmm. we can book an appointment from there as well.
Sounds amazing. Well, my hope was to really open people's eyes a little bit more to the concept of living holistically. So if you're listening today, what did living holistically mean to you? Have a little think about it. What does it look like? What would you be doing? What would you not be doing? If you listen to me regularly, you know I often talk about what are you ready to lovingly let go of so that you can courageously create what you truly desire. And I feel like that is such a relevant question for this topic today, which is living holistically. Kirsty, before we wrap things up, is there anything else you'd love to share with our audience?
Not really. I mean, I guess, again, just saying to people, like, just take care of themselves and, you know, fill up your own cup. Do little things. It doesn't have to be something extravagant, but do something every day that brings you some joy, and it all starts from within.
It all starts from within. Thank you so much, Kirsty Richards, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.